So I don't know, brother. There's a local DA is going to run for governor. He's a really good guy named George Brockler, and he's scheduled to come on the radio show. I want you back tomorrow. Can I put you on hold? Speak with Casey, and we'll get you back on, Doug, because I really love having you on the show. You're the man. And can I do all that with us as we speak real quick?
Yeah, if I don't have any conflicts with any other show, I'd love to be here.
This is later,
because we beat up all the right people.
I'm hip. That's why I want you back. Go on. This guy's a home run. I've always loved your work, but I you know, you never know when you bring up O'Reilly. Some people go in the ditch real quick, and you went, no, he's a jerk. And I went, this is my guy. I'll put you on hold,
yeah,
man.
I think what he did with Kate Steinle's law, I think it's brilliant. I appreciate, you know, some of the work that he's done.
Yeah.
But dude's got to own it, you know.
I'm hip. You're on hold, man. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Coming back on the other side, the one and only George Brockler. I'm Peter Boyle, 710 KNUS. 710 KNUS, Denver's talk station. Talking to a friend, a friend of mine whose son went to Step 13, and I was talking to Paul Scudo. I have another young guy that I know that's going to Step 13 this morning, a plug for Step, but how well this young man is doing. And they said he saw him the other morning. He said he was wearing a suit. He said, this is how I work now with my new job. He's been in Step since January. What a, just a great story. And another friend of mine, her nephew is 31 years of age. He's headed to Step first day this morning. Brave guys, but it's wonderful to hear those stories as opposed to the idiocy of building the tiny houses for homeless people. 303-696-1971. We're waiting for George Brockler, Front Range Mortgage. If you're .com. Standing by for George Brockler, and he's announced, and also it looks like we will have Doug back on the radio show tomorrow. I'm mentioning on Friday this book on Dodge City. I love Old West history, and we'll do that. 303-69, I'm stretching this. This is called stretching. 303-696-1971. There he goes. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, kids of all ages, I've been a fan for a long, long, long time. Please say good morning and hope we can say soon, Governor George Brockler. The man's the DA. We'll see what happens next. DA, good morning. Welcome back to the radio show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, Pete. This is great.
What's the great, you know, like, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it.
That's the truth. I was trying to wrap my mind around what this day and this whole endeavor is going to look like. And last week I was at the pool with my two youngest. I was trying to coax them into going off the high dive, and I thought, man, this is a little bit like that, right? Like, you get up there for the first time, you've seen other people do it, they look like they've gone relatively unscathed, you're pretty sure you can make it, but you stop and look down like, what in the hell am I doing?
I always say, you know, my mother and father raised a lot of ugly children, but not a lot of stupid ones, you know? And then here I am, right? So
right, exactly.
I'm one of those. So I have thought you were the greatest guy for the longest time and has nothing to do with politics. You're just a good guy. And
thank you.
No, come on. Truth is, we spent time together and we've hung out and talked and everything. And Brockler's like this really good guy. And I've been urging him, run for governor, George, run for governor. And so how did you come? Remember that Harvard decision making model? How did you decide to do this?
I spilled coffee on mine, so it got all messed up. I'm not sure how you get there. Some of this is a product, though, of, you remember back in 2013, I had said some pretty strong words in objection to Governor Hickenlooper sparing the life of that convicted mass murderer, Nathan Dunlap. And that sort of started a discussion even back then about, hey, would Brockler seek higher office? And I said, nope, I want to get this trial done and behind me. And then after that, there was this talk of, hey, would you run for Senate against Bennett? And I got close, but I just didn't want to leave Colorado. But in the process of doing that, you have those conversations with your family where you sort of are testing the waters, like, is this even something we want to do, let alone could do? And I think it made it easier as we looked down the road. We saw what 2018 looked like, looked at where we've come from over the past 6-10 years, and thought, you know, if we're going to make a difference for us and for the kids in this state, you got to do something now. So that's how it happened.
Are you going to catch grief for the James Holmes? I know you asked for the death penalty, and the jury came back with life in prison without parole. Is that going to work for or against you? How do you deal with that as an issue?
Well, that's a great question, in large part because of the millions of things I take pride in having done as district attorney and elsewhere in my career. That one's garnered the most attention, and so that's the one that people seem to know me by. And I think it's fair for people to ask those questions, and I've been out answering them for about the last, I don't know, 2 years since it wrapped up. I think it's a fair question. I don't think it's going to hurt me. I think any right-minded, justice-loving person out there could see why that decision was made. I'm disappointed that there was that juror that ended up saying, look, I will never, ever vote for death, and it sort of ended deliberations. Now, having said that, that's part of the process. Yes, we have the harshest death penalty law in the country, but that's our law. And had we gotten that vote and had we gotten death, I would have expected the state to embrace that as justice. And just because we didn't get the answer I thought was best, I'm not going to give scandal to the system. I think that guy deserved to die. I still do. But was that a just outcome? I think it was, based on the system.
You and I, in fairness to George, you never talked about it till it was over. And I know the guy, and, you know, you did all the right things. So how does this work? You're the DA now. And when does, I guess campaigning is day one, as you said, right? So where do we go from here?
Well, I'm going to stay DA. I mean, this is too important of a job to give up for just political ambition. And someone else asked me this question. I think it's fair, too. It's like, well, what do you do? Which one do you pick? And I sleep very little, as most people who have ever read my Twitter feed know. I mean, I'm just a poor sleeper since coming back from Iraq. And there are enough hours in the day to do both of these things well. But where there's going to be conflict, I'm picking the DA job over the running for governor piece. And there are a couple trials out there that are in the pipeline that if they end up going to court, I'll suspend my participation in the campaign and go to court and try to get justice on those things. But I don't have any illusions about it, Pete. I mean, this is a slog. I mean, we've seen what campaigning has looked like in the modern era, and it is the politics of destruction, and I'm not anxious for that for me or my family. And my hope is maybe we've turned the corner. You know, maybe 2016 was enough that people think, okay, we're ready to take a different approach to politics. That's my hope. That's how I'm going to do it and see where things go.
You know, we have had this conversation. I really don't trust the Republican Party at all. I have no idea who they are. Donald Trump did not run as a Republican. He ran as a, we've talked about it. Colorado's delegation, the only delegation to walk out. I was in Cleveland. Myself and Chuck Bonnewell and Mark Crowley, and I watched Steve House lead the delegation walking out. The state comes in blue. They couldn't bring the state in. They bring in Indiana red. They can't bring in Colorado. George, it's a tough question, but what about these guys?
Well, look, I liked both the guys that were running for chairman. I've gotten to know them a little bit as we've gone around the state.
I do as well.
Talking to people. And I like George. Look, I like an Army guy. I've just got a bias that way. I'm an Army guy. But I like Jeff, even though he's Air Force, and I say that sort of tongue-in-cheek because that's the gentleman service, I imagine. I think he's a good man, and I think that he is going to do a good job. And I'm going to be optimistic until there's a reason to not be optimistic. I like the vice chair. I think Sherry's going to do a good job. She's had a real focus on outreach to those parts of the state that, as you know, Pete, have sort of been dead to the Republican Party for a while now, and she's got a real passion for wanting to open up the Republican Party to those pieces of the state. I like that. I'm optimistic for 2018 and beyond.
I mean, I think, do you run as a Trump guy? Do you run as a, who are, you know, I know you, but again, how would you define yourself in terms of the Republican Party?
Well, certainly conservative. I mean, if you look at the list of names of people that have been whispered about running, I mean, I'm clearly the conservative in the race. But, you know, what I sort of push back against are further additional labels because you begin to box yourself into a place just by presumption and by perception based on those terms. So
true.
I feel like for us, and you know this from what you've been doing, we're different here, right? Like Colorado Republicans should be different than those lower-level, C-level Republicans. We're just a different breed. We're tougher, we're harder, and we're more liberty-minded than a lot of the others that are out there that you hear on TV every day. And I feel like I subscribe to that. I'm a George Brockler Colorado Republican.
You're my guy. I mean, I want this to be, simply because I'm knowing you and knowing the kind of guy you are. And apparently, this is putting on the – looking in the crystal ball, it'll be Perlmutter. It'll be up against Perlmutter. Looks like – the run could be, your opponent would be Perlmutter. Perlmutter's got money. He's got recognition. He's got all these things. And by that time, people are going to know a lot more about, you know, the shape of the nation. Have you geared up to think, or are you going to you have to do the first things first?
It is kind of a first things first thing, but, you know, you're right to point out that the seeming elephant in the room, even though they prefer the ass, but the elephant in the room for the Democrats is Ed Perlmutter.
Absolutely.
But, you know, don't look past too quickly Michael Johnston. I mean, he just brought in a truckload of, I presume, Bernie Sanders cash to his race, and they're going to have a bit of a slog. And for us, that's good, because the Democrats, as you know, have been very disciplined in elections past.
Oh.
They go into their smoke-filled room. There's a, I think there's a white smoke thing, and then they bring out their nominee.
New Pope.
But not not this year.
Well,
not this year.
They're gonna
throw some punches.
But the Democratic Party's controlled by just a handful of people with money, and, you know, Fast Eddie's one of their guys. And, you know, this other guy who, I you know, like I said, he's, the Democrats, and being in Denver, you could get over big as being a borderline socialist. Bernie is one. But I think you go outside the state, or rather outside the city, he's going to get jammed up. And Perlmutter's got name rec, and he's got a wallet, and I think those fat cats are behind him. My best guess, if I was putting money down, I'd say it's going to be, you know, Fast Eddie if he wants it.
Ed's got the lineage. Ed's got the time in
the
grade.
Money.
I mean,
he's got money.
He's been in D.C. forever. He was state legislature forever. I mean, you're right about that.
So, I don't know. This is just, we just got off the stool for the first round of the fight. It's going to be, as you point out, this is a 15-rounder. It's like, we'll go to the cards on this one. But, brother, man, I'm thrilled. When I heard that you have announced, I just was saying, man, you know, because I haven't liked anybody there for a long, long time.
I really appreciate that. I'm honored to have your support on this. When you were talking about the boxing thing, I don't know if you remember this, but in one of the Rocky movies, I think it's Rocky 3, Clubber Lang comes up and he's all in Rocky's face, and Mickey turns to him and he says, don't let him get to you, Rock. And Rocky says, would it get to you? And Mick goes, yeah.
Yeah. remember when he looks across in the first film, which is the one that I really loved. And he looks across and he's pointing, you know, he's doing that. He's really knocking off Ali, and he's pointing over. And Rocky turns to Mickey and says, is he talking about me?
Yeah. In many ways, I feel like I'm filling that corner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, is he talking about me? I love Mickey. Mickey was always the sleeper in all those films. And, you know, he was the typical fight coach when we had his kids and say weird stuff to you. You're a little guy. You don't know what he's talking about, you know?
Oh, he was great. He had some of the best lines in the ring. There's the one where Hulk Hogan is in there as Thunderlips.
Thunderlips, yeah.
And Rocky turns to me and goes, what do you think that guy eats a day? He goes, about 197 pounds.
Yeah.
And the next word you hear the announcer saying, I'm a diet fan of 197 pounds.
I know. You know, that made Hogan. That was one of the things that made Hogan was that film. And that made Hogan. And I, you know, like I said, after that, they kind of killed it. Although I did like that film Creed. I saw Creed. I thought that was pretty good, with the kids, Apollo Creed's kid.
And it was great. That was a really great a reboot, or whatever they call it. I hope that continues on a little bit. That was great.
All right. Favorite question, Art. What is your favorite fight film of all time? Because I know you're a boxing fan. I know. I mean,
Yeah. It's hard to get past Raging Bull.
Bingo.
Just because of the acting by De Niro. It's just hard to get past that one.
Bingo. One of the highlights in whatever this thing is called a career, I spent an hour with Jake LaMotta on a television show, and then after we went and had dinner with him. And
It
was my life. I was like, I'm sitting there, because I'm a little guy, man, and I watch Jake on TV all the time. And there's this great book that I just finished, How the Mob Takes Over New York. And they bring up the Madison Square Garden, the fights, and Frankie Carbo, and all these stories. Well, who comes up? Legendary Denver fighter, Reuben Cowboy Shanks. And as a fight fan, as I'm talking, I've talked to guys so many times, and they're, you know, Corky Gonzalez, they talked a lot about Corky being involved in politics. And Corky was a great fighter, and a couple of these really good, good fighters. So they said, well, you know, he ducked Reuben. And it wasn't the truth. I mean, the truth was, the mob controlled who got the shot, and they put their money down on Reuben, and they wanted Jake to go down. They wanted Jake. He'd laid down once before for a guy named Johnny Fox, and they wanted him to lay down. And what he does, he cancels the fight. He never takes the fight.
Oh, interesting.
And never, so he never fights Reuben Shanks, but he doesn't. Most of the guys thought he could have beaten him, but he said he won. But I talked to him one time, and he said, and he knew Rocky Graziano. He knew Graziano, who really was Rocky. He's really Balboa is his last name, and that's where they that's where they took that. And he says, me and Rock, he said, we was teefs when we was kids. He said, but we was educated. And I'm buying it. I'm being a straight guy. We're doing TV.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, we was educated teefs. And I said, well, you know, I'm going, okay, why do you say that, champ? He said, because we only stole stuff what begin with the letter A. And I said, the letter A? He said, yeah, like a bicycle, a quart of milk, a car. You know, he did. And he was so hilarious. And, he did that stand-up routine for years. And he was, but remember his wife? And, oh, God, he was like, I'm looking at him. And I'd seen the film. And so I asked him about, we're way past the line. I asked him about fighting Sugar Ray, who's my favorite fighter of all times. And he said, I got enough sugar. He said, it's a wonder I ain't a diabetic. You know, like he told about Ray Robinson. You didn't knock me down, Ray. So I tell you what, man, I'm thrilled you're going to do knock me down, Ray. I'm thrilled you're into, anybody that loves prize fighting and wants to be the governor. It's just like, I'm your guy. And,
I appreciate
no,
that.
I'm the kiss of death.
I'm anxious to see where this thing goes. It's a lot like being on that first leg of a roller coaster where you can hear the clicking as you go up the hill, like tick, tick, tick.
Yep.
We just crested the top.
Yep.
Who knows now? Now it's a lot of screaming and arm waving.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. I'm the kiss of death, too. I haven't had it. I'm not the guy you want. I got Trump. Yeah, I got Trump, but I didn't think he was going to win. You know, I've been betting Tancredo as a dark horse for – you know, pull me in, Rock. Don't do it.
Right.
You got a website. Do the website, if you would.
Yeah, george2018.com. Tried to keep it easy so that I could find it, but just george2018.com.
Oh, man. Break a leg. D.A., we'll talk ASAP.
You.
Go get him, man. Thank you, sir.
Happy to be on anytime. Thanks for having
you're
me
the
on.
Man.
Thanks,
Thanks, George. All right, everybody.
Talk to you guys.
George Brockler for governor back. We'll do a quick turnaround. We'll do the market updates. Hang on.